The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Thank you very much, Shane. It is the Pat Kenny Show. It's Anton in for Pat. Again, yesterday, it all erupted into chaos as the government used its majority to vote through new speaking rights arrangements to allow speaking time to backbench TDs who support the government, including Michael Lowry, and they now get time to question the government. It all resumed this morning, just about an hour ago. So how will things unfold today? Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, joins us, as does Marie Sherlock, Labour TD and Labour health spokesperson. Marie, first of all, your analysis of yesterday, because there seems to be a split between people arguing the merits of the underlying issue and people arguing the opposition's approach to the issue. Which do you think is more significant, and do you believe the opposition is behaving appropriately?
Well, good morning, Anton. And I suppose just to say, like, I've just stepped out of a briefing there with force because, you know, 70,000 health workers are due to take industrial action next Monday. And these are some of the serious issues that we have going on in our country right now and we want to be dealing with. So to be honest, I'm a bit fed up with how yesterday has played out. And of course, we don't know how today is yet to be play out. Like, the reality is that the Ceann Comhairle at the start of February very clearly set out that those TDs who signed up to a program for government are very clearly in government. They're not in opposition. And we have this farcical situation now where the government effectively are standing over backwards trying to actually placate Michael Lowry and his gang to give them speaking rights, additional speaking rights that is solely reserved for them and for government TDs. And, you know, you can't be in government and opposition at the same time. And to be frank, I'm very frustrated by how yesterday played out.
What the government will say is that this new arrangement means literally that you are not in government and opposition at the same time, but rather a special third option wherein you are given access to question the government, that it is the constitutional mandate and the electoral mandate of everybody in the Dáil to have that opportunity, and that the net speaking time for everybody has increased. So what harm?
No, it's not. And that's actually not correct. Like, the reality is that there's a cut to Taoiseach's questions. So the Taoiseach is appearing less in the Dáil. The reality is as well is that government backbenchers access the very same questions that I as a opposition TD can access in terms of topical questions and oral questions and priority questions. So the reality is that, you know, this is a bit of a nonsense here, and it's designed to deflect from the real issues at heart, that, you know, government TDs can, you know, have plenty of opportunity to question their own government. They also have plenty of opportunity to use their back channels to be able to get answers from their own ministers. But, you know, I suppose what's frustrating to us is that there's an actual cut in Taoiseach's questions. There is this manufacture of time solely designed for government TDs, when we need to be getting on with the job. It's, you know, it's the constitutional obligation of me as a TD in Dublin Central and every other TD who's in opposition to be able to hold the government to account. And I suppose I'm deeply disappointed that the government have insisted on bending over backwards to Michael Lowry and his gang and trying to ram through this change to procedures in the Dáil. Like, at the end of the day, we want to be talking about the real issues, not having those chaotic scenes that we saw yesterday.
Well, on the topic of those chaotic scenes, the person ultimately responsible for the management of the whole business while it is underway is the Ceann Comhairle. There's been a lot of criticism of Verona Murphy and the way that she handled this. And there has also been a lot of suggestion that the attacks and the abuse that was hurled at her for the way she was handling it was rooted in misogyny. A, do you believe that she was incompetent in how she handled it? B, do you think it's misogynistic?
Well, I think mistakes were certainly made yesterday by the Ceann Comhairle. Like, as in, you know, the Ceann Comhairle is elected to independently facilitate the proceedings of the Dáil, not facilitate the government in ramming through what they want to ram through. And unfortunately, I think the Ceann Comhairle did make mistakes yesterday. Like, there was a crazy situation where she just, you know, dismissed a whole section of Dáil procedure just to move on to a vote. And the reality is that I think there will be questions for her today. And, you know, what I find frustrating
was the abuse misogynistic.
Just to finish on the point, what I find frustrating about all of this is that this is a mess of the government's own making, and now the attention, unfortunately, has shifted back to the Ceann Comhairle's handling. So the government get off scot-free, and now the attention is on the Ceann Comhairle. I don't believe that's right, to be frank about it. Was misogynistic. Well, look, you know, to be honest, I'm never comfortable when there's shouting, roaring going on. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we've had a situation where the Ceann Comhairle was actually trying to railroad through a vote that we were all heavily protesting. And I think, you know, we're all big boys and girls in Leinster House. We all know how to conduct ourselves. I think it's probably a bit of a stretch to say it was misogynistic. There was lots of women, I suppose, protesting to the Ceann Comhairle yesterday. The reality at the end of the day is that we have a farcical situation. The government are trying to, you know, bend over backwards to Michael Lowry and his gang, and that needs to end. You know, this is a TD who has a democratic mandate in Tipperary, and I don't certainly have a difficulty with that. But the reality is that he was found to be corrupt as a government minister, and for Micheál Martin, who has called him out in the past, to now be bending over backwards for beggar's belief. Like, is it what Michael Lowry has over the government? None of us know. We've yet to see, what those commitments, what has been the price of their support. None of us know that at the moment. And that is going to be an ongoing issue for the duration of this government.
Marie Sherlock, TD, thank you very much. This is Marie Sherlock, Labour spokesperson for health. And of course, at the centre of all of this is the man that Marie Sherlock was talking about, that being Michael Lowry, because it was he who led the group of nine into that negotiation that ended up with half of them being in government and half of them now saying that they're in the opposition, while the rest of the opposition say you can't ride both of those horses simultaneously. During all of the debacle of yesterday, Michael Lowry gave a two-fingered salute to a video taken by Paul Murphy, and that now has Michael Lowry on the front pages of all of the papers with that salute, although he said he was beckoning him to sit down in a unusual manner. As the confrontation continues, we wondered what Michael Lowry's constituents think in Tipperary North. So Henry McKean visited Thurles to find out.
Well, he's our local. He's about the only one with Jim Ryan that does anything for this town.
So you're saying Michael Lowry does a lot for this town?
He does a lot. An awful lot. To me, it's no big ordeal.
Do you use your fingers much?
Oh, God, no. No. But I mean, to get his point across, he hasn't been listened to, in fairness.
So you think he should have these speaking rights?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Why?
Because he's been there in the Dáil for a long, long time. And if anyone knows people, he knows. So he knows what we want and what we're looking for.
How do you think the coalition and the opposition are going to sort this out?
I have no clue. It's going to take a lot. No clue.
My experience with Michael Lowry, the general feeling around Thurles and everywhere else is he's a good man. He's respected. He's trusted. I've worked in other sectors with him. He's strict, but he does things by the book. Seems to be all around a decent guy.
Sinn Féin are doing really well to fight the corner for the opposition party, and I really don't believe that they should have any time in opposition as well as having a say in government. So I think that they're right to fight the corner for democracy.
So you're on the side of the opposition on
Absolutely,
this?
Absolutely, 100%. I think the government are pulling strokes and strings to try and get as much airtime and power as they can. And it's not just Michael Lowry giving two fingers, it's the whole government is giving two fingers to everybody.
When you look at the video, when you look at the video recorded against the rules by Paul Murphy of Michael Lowry giving the two fingers, how does that make you feel? I have it there open to show you.
Well, first of all, I didn't vote for Michael Lowry. Probably one of the only Tipperary people. But it just shows that there is a lack of respect for democracy and actually even for the opposition. So why should he sit on the same side as them and get any of their time?
You're either in government or you're in opposition. And all they're doing is giving credibility to certain parties who shouldn't be getting attention.
So Michael Lowry's saying he wasn't swearing, but he was summoning Paul Murphy over for a chat. What do you think?
I think he was given a prediction that Tipperary would win the National League final by 2 points.
I don't think much of him. He never did anything for me. I'm a local.
So is that what politics is about? It's about helping locals,
Parish
pump.
He never did anything for me. I'm a local. Never. Not once in his life has he ever done anything for me.
When we take the two-finger salute, what do you think?
Just telling them to F off. That's what it means.
I think he's an ignoramus, to be perfectly honest. That's all I'm going to say.
That's Michael Lowry.
Yes, absolutely.
That's Henry McKean and Thurles getting reaction to the Michael Leary two-fingered salute as the chaos went on in the Dáil yesterday. In the midst of that chaos, or at least calmly observing it, was Newstalk's political correspondent Sean Defoe. Do the videos and audio that we have seen, does it do it justice?
Probably not, which is says an awful lot about what it was like inside the chamber. Firstly, you couldn't hear anything, so people who were actually watching probably heard more of what Verona Murphy and Micheál Martin had to say than we did inside the chamber, because everything was so loud all the time, to the point where TDs, including Marie Sherlock, weren't really sure what they were voting on when the vote came up, because they couldn't hear it happening. Some of the procedure that the Crown Corla put through as well, like accepting the order of business, it was done almost before the opposition knew what was going on, because they just simply could not hear her. Remarkable scenes. Michael Leary, obviously, it culminated in that two-finger salute, as you mentioned, but for the day, he had been sort of smirking and jibing and making jokes along the back bench. There was a point where some of the Sinn Féin TDs pointed up and asked questions about Michael Leary, and he literally waved down to them, sort of a royal wave from the back box, like he was at Wimbledon or something. All of this jibing was going on. It was interesting. The audio that you hear is all the opposition, is all shouting from the opposition benches, and that was very much a tactic from the government benches not to get involved in the heckling and the slagging and the shouting. There was a point where Malcolm Byrne started to chipe up, as Malcolm Byrne tends to do, and the chief whip turned around to him, basically said, shut up, we're not doing this, we're not getting involved, let them shout it out and we'll do our own thing. Now, you still had a couple of people making the odd shout here and there, but didn't really contribute to it. There was a point where Kevin Boxer Moran was waving his hands around as though he was directing an orchestra to the opposition shouting at them. What I'm trying to say, Anton, it was chaos, and I've never seen anything like it.
Now, at the root of all of this is the core issue, because as Marie Sherlock pointed out, it's easy to lose the core issue in the chaos. Mm. We have a group of nine led by Michael Leary. Michael Leary himself, who Tribunal found secured the winning of the second mobile phone licence for Dennis O'Brien when he was a government minister, and subsequently was in receipt of hundreds of thousands of pounds demonstrably referable to the winning of that licence. Subsequently convicted of tax-related matters, he leads this group of nine, does a deal to define the programme of government, and then the group of nine splits in half, one half saying we're now in government, one half saying we'll be the opposition and we'll call out the things that we've just been party to as if we were an opposition party. You can understand why the opposition might be irked.
You can, of course you can. I mean, he was a chief negotiator in the programme for government and is now acting as though he's not a government TD. So you can completely understand why they are there. Now, whether it has been blown up into something beyond the proportion of what it actually is another question, because as the Taoiseach keeps saying, 8 minutes a day. Now, the world, the changes that cut the amount of time that opposition have to ask questions of other segments. Paul Murphy has outlined that quite well. That's fair enough. But it is changing the tenor of what it means to be in opposition. And you'll know this from interviewing people, right? If you're trying to put the minister to the rack and you're asking five or six questions in a row and suddenly you interrupt it with a softball, it changes the whole tone of the debate. And that's what they're pointing out it will do. To play the other side, because the government...
Sir, just to pick up on that, because if you take leaders' questions as a case in point, you have a question plus supplementary from each of the three main party leaders, mm-hmm. if I have the numbers right. That adds up to a rolling six questions on a single topic, if it is a big topic of the day. That's a lot of pressure to put the Taoiseach under. Those kind of things being diluted, as you point out, by somebody intervening and saying, well, how did you become so wonderful?
Yes.
It significantly changes the tenor of the debate.
It does, because if you're putting them to the screws in the National Children's Hospital or whatever the actual crisis is, there's only so often they can give the pat answer. And you know yourself, you get that the first two or three questions, and in questions four, five and six is when you get real answers. And if it's suddenly interrupted to talk about something for North Tipperary or the roads in Kerry or something like that, it's a very different tenor. Now, I've always thought this argument that you are in and out of opposition at the same time is totally ludicrous. The best explanation of it, of the sort of nuances of it, I thought actually came from John LaHarch yesterday afterwards, and the government's made a total disaster of making this point throughout, where he was saying it isn't quite as clear as black and white as it used to be, and that changed in 2016 when they did confidence supply, because they were the lead opposition party, but they were also facilitating the government. So you could argue that Fianna Fáil were not in government or in opposition, and a lot of people did, and they hammered the party for it at the 2020 election. So he actually made that point, and when you look at it like that, you can say fair enough. But I think Leary is different again in these groups, where you have the two Healy Rays are the perfect example of it. Two brothers, both involved in the negotiations. One's a minister, and we're meant to believe the other's in opposition, even though he's going to vote all the way with them. It doesn't stack up.
So if that's the root issue, a lot of the attention now has moved from that into the manner in which the opposition was dealing with it. And most of the people, when you hop the ball, you get a response that says, behaving like children, this is disgraceful. How far more do the opposition push it before it becomes politically counterproductive?
So they have been meeting since about 9:30, the leaders, and I was speaking to some of them this morning, and there's real divided opinions. So there is a view among quite a few of them that, look, we've probably played our hand here. We've shown up that the government is ridiculous. The public are on our side now. If we throw a stroppy in the doll again today, fine. If we do it again tomorrow, suddenly you start to look like the bad guy because you are the one delaying doll proceedings. You're delaying committees being formed and all that kind of things. And I think a lot of the public just want TDs to get back to work and actually do something. This doll has done very little in the last 2 months. The other question is the one of the Count Corla, who had a remarkable day yesterday, was under all sorts of pressure, really threw convention out the window, if not necessarily the rules, because she was being advised by the clerk of the Dáil all throughout. So I would be surprised if any standing orders were actually broken, because he knows them better than probably anyone alive. And yet, the things that she did, you just don't do in the convention of the Dáil. So there's an awful lot of bad will there. It was really telling at the press conference yesterday evening. All seven opposition leaders were asked, put up your hand if you have confidence in the Count Corla. No one did. So when you lose the support of more than half the chamber, you're in a very precarious position. And if a confidence motion...
And one assumes, Sean, she's also in a particularly precarious position, because the precedent thus far set has been that the Ceann Comhairle is a fairly seasoned member of one of the largest parties in the Dáil. And that brings with it some level of cultural tradition and support from your parliamentary members, for what that's worth. Verona Murphy has none of that.
No, she's one of these nine independents. So even if she were to lose the position, you don't know, is she going to go into government? Is she in opposition? Is she in this new middle group that has been created under her watch and doesn't necessarily have that backing? And even speaking to ministers today, they said, look, we'll back her, but if a motion goes in, she's toast, because you can't lose the support of half of the House and expect to be a chairman for the whole House. But I think, and you heard Marie Sherlock allude to it there, the thought now is, the Count Corla is a distraction. We need to keep the Chief Whip under pressure and the Taoiseach under pressure, and that actually by doing it, you know, the government is sort of getting away with this. And you have the other factor of, do you want to be the opposition that forced out the first ever female Count Corla in 3 months over what to many people will seem like a relatively trivial issue?
Sean, thank you very much. That is Sean Defoe, our political correspondent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.